Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 11 minutes past 1, 17 degrees, as I said, the top for the day. And we have with us Meg today. She's the founder and also the executive officer of Trek Learning Centre. Now, you might not have heard of Trek Learning Centre, and neither have I, but Meg's going to tell us all about it. So welcome, Meg.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
It's terrific to have you along. Meg, first of all, tell us when the Trek Learning Centre first started and what's behind it, why you started it, and let's take it from there.
Sure. So we started just over a year ago, but there was a lot of pre-work behind that before we were actually live. And what sits behind it is our work is really around re-engagement for vulnerable young people who've become disengaged in education, training or employment, and particularly young people who face multiple barriers, such as they might have had childhood trauma, they might have homelessness and sort of additional barriers that prevent them from being able to engage well with their education.
Are we only talking about school-age young people, or are we talking 17, 18, or?
Yeah, so up to 24, but those young people operate in different groups and different programs depending on what their goals are, if it's employment. And sometimes, so initially we have a program called the 5 Acre Project, which is really, it's a preparatory program that we work with young people, particularly those who have experienced trauma. And it's really around de-escalation, and we work with therapeutic horticulture, animal care. We cook produce grown on the farm and share a meal with the group each day. And so those young people are using their bodies, de-escalating, developing their relationship to their own learning, which quite often is quite negative. So we have heaps of fun. We do a lot of building projects, and in that we're sort of building capacity around their literacy, their numeracy skills, that if they haven't attended school for a while or if they think it's pointless, sometimes they're not understanding some of those foundation skills. We sort of build that into that through project-based learning. So we do a lot of building, a lot of growing, a lot of cooking, a lot of animal care.
And we want to talk more about each of those programs as we go through the next little while. But whereabouts are you talking about the 5 Acre Project, and you talk about all those things? Whereabouts are you based, Meg?
So we're just in Mombulk, so local. We're on a small farm, actually just backing onto Sylvan Reservoir. So we've got a beautiful aspect looking out, and it's actually a 10-acre property, but we sort of run different programs through different areas. So the name 5 Acre Project isn't linked to the size of the property.
So the 5 Acre Program uses the 5 acres just by itself, and then you run other programs sort of on the other 5 acres?
So we look to scaffold young people or individuals who might be looking for employment. So the 5 Acre Project, as I said, is really using a lot of trauma-informed practices, looking to have a young person feel safe, build capacity, maybe provide referrals if they've got other barriers that have created issues around their learning or around their engagement opportunity. So we work alongside a lot of external youth service organisations, Youth Justice, Department of Health and Human Services. And so that's really preparatory and really sets young people up to feel confident, capable to learn, and to remember that actually learning's fun and that they're great at it, that they're great individuals, which sometimes a lot of that messaging and confidence is gone. And then we're starting a pre-accredited program, which is looking at that next step. So some scaffolded learning around some certificates. So we're looking at a food handling, a level 2 in first aid, specific tool sign off on tool usage, so that young people who might be looking for an apprenticeship or might be ready to perhaps go into a TAFE environment have sort of developed additional capacities around their learning.
Meg, a couple of things. First of all, is it run all by volunteers, or obviously do you have paid staff that runs it, run the program?
Sure. So we're a not-for-profit registered charity. We've got 3 paid staff members, and then we do rely on and are very interested in having community support around through our volunteer program, particularly in developing those skills with tools and trades for our young people. It's a big area of interest, and sort of being able to, we work with very small numbers with our young people, so they have a lot of support, and just being able to provide that sort of one-on-one or one-to-two individual learning on tool usage and, you know, doing things safely. Quite often our young people are super capable. They've done actually a lot of things outside of attending school on their own, but they're not always, they wouldn't be considered work ready or workplace ready skills. So, we're very lucky. We have a volunteer who participates every week in our cooking program, and so we rotate our young people, and she pretty well runs that. So we ascertain what we've got on site and prepare a menu based on that, and all share that food that she cooks with those young people. But we are keen to develop other volunteer opportunities with horticulture and building.
You were talking about that, I think you just said you were going to start food handling and some of those things. At the end of those, will there be a qualification, or is it, will it just be, this is how you know how to do it?
Yep, so pre-accredited training is a recognised pre-training, so it's pre-qualification, but it is recognised through the Department of Education. So the 5-acre project has no accredited other than what we do around our trauma-informed practices.
Can I just stop you? Because you're using a word that probably none of our listeners know. You were talking about, what was it, a pre...
So pre-accredited training
after that, you were talking about the actual program. You're saying something about trauma.
Oh, so just trauma-informed practices.
So what's that mean? Most of our listeners won't know.
So it's quite fascinating, actually. And, I really encourage people to take the time to have a look into, the plasticity of the brain and the changes that trauma has on the brain and the ability for the brain to recover. So when children and young people experience trauma, there are significant brain changes that occur out of a survival mechanism. And those brain changes that happen are because they're highly escalated and needing to be very highly alert. And so different areas of the brain develop rather than if you talk about a brain that hasn't experienced trauma. So what that means very quickly for a young person is that being in enclosed spaces don't feel safe. They might not be able to put words to that or even consciously feel that, but they might be highly explosive. They might be very reactive. It also, a brain that's in survival doesn't need to retain long-term information. It needs to operate very quickly. So learning is very difficult, maintaining memory in a classroom base. But what it does do is it retains information that's done through the hands or being physical. So that program is really around de-escalation, puffing out our young people on our many hills on this property, walking up and down. And all their learning is hands-on. So it is really preparing a brain to be able to go forward into our prepared pathways that we work really closely on over their time with us. We prepare their next step pathways if they're not going to return to their local high school. And it's essential work because they have very low success rates, young people, particularly young people who've experienced childhood trauma in the education sector. And it's because we're jumping a barrel that they haven't yet been able to alter, and it is really the state of their brain. So it's very important that that work's done before we're putting them into a learning
position. It's sort of the old fight or flight sort of
absolutely
with their body. Meg, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll
be back
with more on Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where the time is 1:20.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young Miss Monsieur and Madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They furnished off an apartment with a two-room robot sale. The coolerator was crammed with TV dinners and ginger ale. But when Pierre found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They had a hi-fi phone, oh boy, did they let it blast. 700 little records, all rock, rhythm, and jazz. But when the sun went down, the rapid tempo of the music fell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They bought a souped-up jitney, was a cherry red 53, and drove it down to Orleans to celebrate the anniversary. It was there where Pierre was wedded to the lovely mademoiselle. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. Truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.
And of course, that was Going Back in Time with Chuck Berry, and You Never Can Tell. Always listen to songs like that every second Sunday between 12 and 3 with music, memories and more. But anyway, the show now is Community Connections. I have with me Meg, and she's the founder and executive officer at the Trek Learning Centre. Meg, you've been telling us a little, in fact, you've mentioned two or three times the 5-acre project. So tell us exactly what that is and what you do there, please.
Sure. So the 5-acre project is a program that we run working with young people who are either disengaged from school or are really starting to step into concerning disengagement. And what that looks like on a day is, particularly at the moment, they arrive and I've usually lit a bonfire somewhere on the property, and they all wander down to the fire, and we sort of start our day with a bit of a check-in and what's going to happen. So we've got a few areas that they can work in. So one is the kitchen. We've got a commercial coffee machine in there, and someone's responsible for that for the day. So if anyone wants any coffee or related beverage, that young person is in charge.
If that was me, I'd be lining up there all day. You wouldn't get me out.
And they get really, really good at it, really good. And so the kitchen program feeds us all for the day. So they have a look at what's growing on site. They go for a wander, and usually we've their menu, the week before, but they'll do something that's shared, something for morning tea, and something for the larder. So we're always either making jam or passata, or we're just about to do some lemon butter next term because we've got a huge glut of lemons and citrus at the moment. And lots of salads and, food related to what we're growing through our horticulture program. So that one, young people, so usually one or two young people will do that. So they do everything from bread making to cakes and biscuits. Everything's made from scratch, which is a great opportunity for us to ascertain their reading capabilities, if they need one-on-one support, whether they can follow instructions. And then we can sort of scaffold their skills through that. A big thing that we don't do is we don't overteach. So young people have a great, and you know, all people have a great innate sense of learning and ascertaining what didn't go well, and that's really the gold for us. Quite often young people have become really they've become risk averse to getting anything wrong, and that's sort of the premise of everything we do, is getting things wrong is completely fine. So like with our coffee machine, we show them how the machine works, but then they just have to work it out. They get their own technique. They might ask for a bit of support or help, but they just keep going until they make a great coffee, and it's really wonderful when they're really happy with what they've done. And usually that just comes because they can quietly work away at things without this idea of failure. And I guess that's our kitchen.
Sorry. They're actually,
no, you're right.
They're actually learning without learning, aren't they? Like,
that's right.
If you told them they had to learn something, it probably isn't going to work. But they're actually learning by doing it.
And we're really working with young people who've got a very negative relationship to the word learning. And so we're really, really in one to two terms trying to break that down. And to really re-demonstrate to them their wonderful capacity to learn, how clever they are. And as we go and as we build a stronger relationship with each young person, and if they have experienced trauma or there's other additional barriers in their life, really able to bring that knowledge to them about what happens to their brain and why sometimes things might feel hard. And it's a really important and empowering moment for them if they haven't understood that, as to why they might feel a certain way or why they can't remember. Or so just being calm, using their body, and actually not having to pass something in our program really does build capacity for loving to learn again. So that's our kitchen program. Then other young people can choose to be doing horticulture on the day. So we've got outdoor and indoor gardening spaces. We've converted a large polytunnel, a completely closed circuit now. So we've got all our own soil from worm farms and compost that we've made with our young people over more than a year now. And we seed save. So everything that we grow, we've either grown before or saved the seeds from the season before. And we're just building individual wicking beds at the moment. So we've got a really big communal growing space within that tunnel, where each young person builds from the beginning their own wicking bed. So it's self-watering. It's just a great skill to learn, and something that they feel they plant whatever it is that they want in there. They can read and understand whether or not that's seasonal, but because it's in a polytunnel, they like to give things a go because it's a bit warmer. And again, we're sort of really building in that idea of the not feeling too attached to success or failure. So growing food can be quite fraught. The lovely thing in that part of our program is that our young people plant things that they're wanting, but they actually don't get to eat that. So they're always planting forward, and that idea of just things take a long time, and we are able to relate that back to their own healing, their own learning, their own capacity. They plant something thinking they're going to have it, and it's very beautiful because we're eating what past groups have planted for them. And it is a big moment, really, that understanding of where you are now isn't where you're going to be in a season's time.
And one of the things with the young people is that they plant it today and want to see it grow tomorrow, don't they?
Well, do you know, a lot of young people actually haven't got a strong attachment to where their food's come from, but gosh, they love growing it. And, you know, they're fascinated by names of things that they haven't heard of before, or they might say, oh, I think I've had that before, or I'll put that in. They're very curious. They have a natural curiosity, and sometimes, particularly if they don't fit you know, a mainstream education system, or if their life hasn't delivered them, you know, a great opportunity in that area, then that their natural ability and curiosity doesn't always get, you know, championed. And they're wonderful leaders, young people, the young people we work with. It's quite fascinating watching them teach each other. They're excellent communicators, so they might not be great at writing an essay right now, but they're really good at imparting knowledge. So that's the horticulture aspect. So that is both inside and outside. So we've just battled about without exaggeration, I'd say about 500 cockies who ripped up all of our garlics that we'd spent. So we do have disappointments, and it is part of what we do, and we're busy netting and, you know, so the polytunnel's wonderful for that because we are a lot more protected, but we do utilise both spaces. And then we do, we have, another area that's our building. So we have small, short projects that each young person's working on, and they'll sort of say, and that evolves, oh, I'd like to do this thing, and we book one-on-one time with someone, which is why, you know, volunteers that think that they have great knowledge around building or trades would be, you know, very welcomed here, because they do have individual projects that they're really keen to complete. But the we do a big long-term group project. So next term we're working towards building a wood fire oven because we do a lot of bread making here. Sort of some sort of infrastructure that they get to build skills on, but they don't have complete ownership because it's a shared project.
Meg, you said they're in small groups. How many people would you have each day at the centre?
So somewhere between 6 and 10, and 10's pushing it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And how long are the young people with you? Like, are they there for a month, 6 months, or how long are they with you?
Yep, so that varies. So it's a term-by-term program, and so they can re-engage in a second term. I guess for me, and you know, I've done this work for a very long time, it's easy to want to hold on to young people that you start to see thriving. You desperately fall in love with them and want, you know, great things for them. And, you know, it really is our job to prepare them and have them capable to move forward in the world. So if a young person is in need of a second term, it's very structured as to what we didn't achieve and why and where we're heading. So we do a very strong pathway with each young person, preparing them for where they're going. Now, that might not be full-time education, but it may well be. We may have had to put in, which is very common, in place, you know, safe and secure housing for that young person while they've been with us, or drug and alcohol support, or a range of other supports while they're with us. So it's not just the day-to-day on the ground. The back end is a lot of preparation to make sure that young person, I guess that whole Maslow theory that they have, you know, food, housing, that they're safe, clothed well, looked after, that they've got supports in place for when they finish with us. So that second term, if a young person does stay, and it is possible, is really about making sure that we've done our job well and they're well and truly prepped with their pathway as to what they're going on to do.
Meg, how do you get the young people?
So really anyway, sometimes it might be a parent who's had someone else tell them about, and they might be very worried about their own young person who might not be going to school, or they're just feeling concerned about where they're at. It might be through youth justice or youth diversion. So young people might have sort of ended up in court, in the magistrate's court. It might be through the Department of Health and Human Services, so particularly vulnerable young people who are in out-of-home care or who might have additional services involved around supporting them and their family.
So you work with these organisations, do you, such as the Magistrates Court and the DHS?
Yep.
Right. Not that it really matters, do you find that there's more male going, more males going through, or more females through the system?
So at the moment we've got all boys in our group. So I would say yes. I think our animal care program is really just flourishing now. So we've now got a program where we've got chicks coming on. We've got our ducks are about to start laying, and so we're going to do an imprinting program with our young people with baby ducklings.
What's imprinting?
So I was just going to say, when imprinting, and you might, sometimes it was done at primary school, and that where everyone, you know, you watch a duck or a chick hatch, and then that first thing that they see, they think is their mum. And so they connect to that thing and they follow that person. And so it's actually a very beautiful thing for young people who may have interruptions around making connections with people. And they might have difficulty in sort of some of that human stuff. Animal connection is really a beautiful way in with them, and having something to look after or that loves them back. So we've got a beautiful donkey who's got her foal, and she's very kind about letting us have a lot of fun with her baby. We're just putting in next term about, well, we're going to start with 7 guinea pigs, but I'm sure very quickly we'll have about 40.
Sure you will.
But it's a very, very large area. We've called it a pig palace. So it's a very, very large area. So it can well and truly take 40 guinea pigs. But having something on your lap, you know, even our chickens, if people saw us at lunchtime, sometimes it's probably not the best look, but it's not unusual for a young person to have a chicken on their lap while they're eating their lunch. They really, really love the animals and that connection, and it does break down that that feeling of trust and feeling safe somewhere. So that part of the program is building, and I will be curious to see whether that appeals more to girls or boys. At the moment, all the boys have asked me about the guinea pigs. They nag about it, so I don't know if it will entice more girls. We've had inquiries from girls, but it's not. So actually at this point we've only had boys. But everyone is welcome.
And one of the things with these animals, I mean, you give an animal love and they respond, don't they? It's not
Yeah, like, they follow us around like a herd of
Yeah, I mean, humans, you can give out love and the person could just turn their back on you and all
That's
that.
That's right.
And those young people wouldn't want that. But in
and
a
that's
case,
the benefit of imprinting
with
a duckling.
Yeah, well, all animals are generally, aren't they? You give them a bit of love and they'll come back. Megan, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with
more. No worries. Thanks, Alan.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And that was Times, well, what was it called? Times for Dreams and Move It. And that's out of Greg's Oz Indie folder. So don't forget, Greg will be along at 3 o'clock with Oz Indie from 3 and 5. And then Darren Adams will be along between 5 and 7 with the Wednesday Drive. And then we've got Eddie with the Rock and Roll. And on we go, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But at the moment, you're listening to Community Connections. And I've got Meg with me from the Trek Learning Centre. Meg, I guess a couple of things we'd like to ask you. I guess you're always looking for more volunteers.
Yeah, volunteers play a huge role, obviously, in skill sharing, and that's something that's really important for us here. And also just bridging sometimes a bit of a negative gap for our young people with the older community, or really just anyone outside of their, you know, small little group. Sometimes they've constructed a story themselves, and sometimes they just feel negative. And it's really beautiful breaking down some of those barriers where they've got someone else that they can trust and talk to.
Meg, do you need for your volunteers, do you need any sort of specialist? Like, do you need builders, or what sort of people do you really need as volunteers?
Sure. So part of what we do, we're a registered child safe organisation, so primarily we need to have working with children's check for all our volunteers and a national police check.
If they can't do that, you don't want them.
I do understand that there's all sorts of reasons sometimes that aren't, but we are a registered child safe organisation, and that is the parameters that our volunteers can participate under. And then outside of that, yeah, really, really would love some additional skills in the building capacity or horticulture. Sometimes a young person, if they're having an off day, might want to really just do something on their own, and it's so wonderful to see them, particularly if they're not in a good space that day, to finish a project or really grasp a skill. It's hard to, you know, even when we're talking about six young people, it's very difficult to just have that one-on-one time with them to be able to commit to, build their capacity on that particular day. So really having that extra pair of hands, that additional knowledge, just strengthens the program, and ultimately we're strengthening, you know, very vulnerable young people.
Meg, unfortunately, our time is coming very quickly to an end. As I told you, the hour goes very, very quickly, or the 50 minutes.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
That's all right. Now, I'm a volunteer, or I've got a grandchild or a child that I'm really worried about. So I want to find out more about the Trek Learning Centre. How am I going to do it, please?
Sure. So if you're just wanting to even just have a look at the work that we do, you can head to our website. So that's just www.treklearningcentre.org. So it's just treklearningcentre.org. And on there is our last, I think, 6 or 10 of our last Instagram photos, so you can sort of see what's just happened. You can click on a link there, and that'll take you automatically to our Instagram page. You can email me directly anytime, so it's meg@treklearningcentre.org.
You should mention Trek as T-R-E-K.
T-R-E-K, Learning and Centre, as in C-E-N-T-R-E. And look, I'm really happy. I don't know whether you take I'm happy to give out my work phone number if anyone's wanting
to. It's up to you, as long as you're happy to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. So it's 0433 902 623. If anyone's wanting to, you know, discuss anything that we've talked about today, they're very welcome to speak.
Just give that number again, please, mate.
Sure. 0433 902 623.
Meg, look, we certainly we've enjoyed talking to you today. We've found a bit about it. I've got to be honest,
thanks,
I didn't know anything about that the Trek Learning Centre was around. And we certainly hope that if any of the people listening have got time, I know we've got quite a lot of retirees that listen in because they've got the time. And so go to the website, have a look, see if you can do something for them. And if so, get hold of Meg. Or give Meg a ring on that 0433 902 623. Meg, look, it's been terrific to have you along. I wish you well with the project.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you again sometime.
Lovely to speak to you. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks very much.